This is kind of unusual for a large conference. There is a lot of some of the biggest names in businesses and CEOs and entertainment here. But there's also a wing dedicated to community services as well. And I'm here with Zakia Afrin, who is here with Maitri. And Maitri is spelled M-A-I-T-R-I. And maybe you can tell me, Zakia, a little bit about what Maitri is all about and how it got started.
Thank you, Michael. I'm working as a hotline advocate for Maitri. This is a South Asian women's organization and primarily a hotline for women going through abusive relationships and who have cultural issues in the United States. Maitri started in 1991 by a very prominent writer, Chitra Banerjee Dibakarni. And after she founded it, it was basically going on by the help of some volunteers. And after 15 years, we now have 3 staff members and 40 volunteers who run our organization and day-to-day activities.
We should name the books that she wrote, because people might know her books more than they might know her names. She wrote The Mistress of Spices and also Sister of My Heart and Arranged Marriage, collection of short stories as well. All of them actually dealing with, you know, with the immigrant experience of crossing from one place to another.
That's
and
right.
Some of the great joys and some of the problems that can come up in those situations. Now, tell me a little bit about what you do as a hotline advocate, and why was there a need for Maitri?
There was a need for Maitri for basically 2 reasons. First of all, when South Asian women immigrant to this country, most of them are coming here as spouses, and they don't have any family members here. Culturally, the South Asian women are not very extroverts, and they don't want to talk about their family issues at all with outsiders. So we thought that there is a need for women to be able to express what they are going through or if they are having any problems adjusting to this new culture. So that's why we started Maitri, where we have volunteers who speak all the major languages in India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Nepal, and Sri Lanka, so that when somebody is calling and even they don't speak English, they can express themselves, they can, you know, share their grievances with us. We are basically there to be their sisters and to be compassionate what they're going through and just to be sympathetic, giving them a forum to speak out.
Is Maitri formed a few years ago, has its purpose kind of changed, or has there been less of a need or more of a need for Maitri over the years, do you think?
The purpose hasn't changed at all, and the need, unfortunately, the need hasn't changed. But we were able to add to our crisis hotline a service of transitional home, which allows some women who decide to be on their own to find a place in the community, to find jobs, and, you know, to be able to get on their own feet. So that goes very well with our motto, which is helping women help themselves. So now I think in the last 15 years we have come a long way just to hear them out, from hearing them out and now actually able to help them finding status for themselves.
How is Maitri supported?
Maitri is supported by individual donors, generous donors from the Indian community and as well as the American community. Also, we get grants from federal government and California state government.
And if someone would like to find out, maybe they're listening to this podcast, and they'd like to find out a little bit more about Maitri and its services, and perhaps they want to support it, or perhaps they need to give a call, is there a web presence or a telephone number that they can reach?
Yes. Maitri has a website. It's www.maitri.org. And we have a 24-hour crisis hotline for people who are going through problems. Otherwise, anybody can call our office to find out more about volunteer opportunities. We always, are in need of volunteers who can spend some time and, help out the South Asian community.
And you're based in San Jose, California?
We are based in San Jose, California.
Are there chapters other places?
Not yet. We are focusing on the Bay Area right now. And hopefully, if we ever have enough fund and the ability to expand our services, we'll do that. Let me give you the office number, 408-436-8393.
And the hotline number?
1-888-888-888. create Maitri.
Okay, and let's spell Maitri one more time.
Okay, it's M-A-I-T-R-I.
And you can also be reached at maitri.org.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. I've been speaking today at TaiCon 2006 in the community services wing, I'll call it here, and I've been speaking with Zakia Afrin, who is the hotline advocate for Maitri, and it's great having you here, and it's great to see this kind of community support, I think, at a conference. Very unusual, but I think speaks very highly to the community and the awareness of, that it has as well. And thanks for being with us on the podcast today, Zakia.
Thank you, Michael.
Hi, my name is Raj Panchapakesan. I'm with the Sankarai Foundation. It was founded in 1998 in the U.S. as a nonprofit organization trying to raise funds for India to start hospitals in India for solving curable blindness. And we provide free surgeries in India. And the vision is to provide 2020 by year 2020.
My name is Molai Thakur. I'm also working for as a volunteer from Shankarai Foundation.
Now, what are some of the, is it a disease problem? Is it congenital blindness? What kinds of things are you focusing on?
These are basically, we're looking for curable blindness, which is all over the world. And India has one of the maximum of curable blindness. And we raise these funds and make sure that this blindness is cured in India. We have hospitals all over India. We are starting. We have now three coming up, two in Bangalore and one in Gujarat.
And what kinds of services? You fund hospitals. You also pay for doctors. Do you ever bring people here back to the United States, or how does it work?
The funds all are raised. We just in the U.S. are sent back. And all the doctors, the hospitals, the patients are all treated by this fund. No one pays for it anywhere from anywhere else. Everything that is taken from here from the fundraisers are paid by for the doctors as well as for the patients. The patients are, in fact, picked up from villages, brought in, they're treated and sent back again.
What are some of the leading causes of blindness there in India?
There are various things in India which causes. One is probably, you know, the coal poor, treatment. They've not got a proper treatment. They have even didn't have a facility to go and find out if they actually can be cured or not. So we are going into the data and finding out what are the curable blindness. We've got excellent doctors in Shankarai Foundation who actually have volunteered to work for us. Some of them on a very low margin they take, and they just work for us.
Does the word Shankara have a meaning to
you? Yeah, Shankara was one of those gurus that we had, Shankara, and the name actually came from him.
And how does one spell Shankara? And do you have a website? So both of those are important.
Yeah, we have a website.
Giftofvision.org.
Giftofvision.org.
And that's the website. And you can go there and make donations. There are various forms of donations that we have. Either you can sponsor a cataract operation, you can sponsor a surgery, or you can sponsor for a whole ward and to be built in your name or in your loved ones' names. And we also have a new approach to raising funds in Bangalore, where we are trying to build the new latest hospital. It's one of the largest in India. It's going to be one of the largest. We already have the land, so we are raising funds for the building. And what it is basically you, as a donor, you can also get your name on the walls of the hospital and donate towards a good cause.
And there'll be people there who can see it, too.
Yeah, that's right. Once they get their vision back, they will be able to see that also. Okay.
I've been speaking with a couple of the volunteers from the Shankara Eye Foundation. Shankara is spelled S-A-N-K-A-R-A, but you can find them on the web at giftofvision.org. And their motto, again, one more time, is?
2020 by year 2020.
Okay. Thanks for being with us on the podcast.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
My name is Nicholas Bizanis. I'm the director of Global Service Foundation. We're a California-based nonprofit that focuses on food relief and other humanitarian aid in India, primarily West Bengal, also Uttar Pradesh, and sometimes in Orissa.
Tell me a little bit about what Global Service Foundation Incorporated does, and what's the important role, and what are they doing at TaiCon?
Well, what we do is primarily to aid and assist NGOs in India with their humanitarian aid. We're registered here in the United States with 501c3 status, which allows us to fundraise as well as search for volunteers. So on the one hand, in India, you can feed 10,000 villagers on any day, and there's some benefit there. But if one student from the United States or any Western country can come and participate in that, then the opportunity for them experiencing a life-changing afternoon is equally important to the 10,000 meals, I feel.
What are some of the practical things that Global Service Foundation does on the ground in India?
On the ground level, we have several different programs we focus on. One is the daily food distribution, which is anywhere from 50 to 200, mostly children, mostly in the morning, breakfast. We also have Food for the Masses program, where 10,000 plus people a day could be fed. We work a lot in what they call backwards regions, or out in the village where there's no plumbing or certainly no broadband or anything like that. Unfortunately, we're a bit hand-to-mouth because we're a grassroots organization. And by being here at TICON, we're hoping to come in contact with an individual or a company or any group who might be able to take some notice of what we're doing and offer some substantial ground to stand on so that our volunteer crew doesn't spend half their time begging for sustenance and we can focus on our distribution programs rather than, you know, the $1 at a time, help us buy a bag of rice.
What's been the most satisfying part of working with Global Service Foundation? You traveled, obviously, to some of these sites.
I go two or three times a year back and forth to India to do admin and due diligence over our programs and make sure what we're sponsoring is going on appropriately.
Why did you get into it?
You know, I went to India as a tourist when I was younger. I always was fascinated by India and Indian culture. And when I finally made it there, I came in contact with some friends from back in the States who said, oh, come along, we're going to have this food distribution program today. And next thing I knew, I had a spoon and a bucket, and I was in a rice paddy field, you know, with thousands and thousands of villagers. And like I said before, it was a life-changing experience. So when I came back, I developed a stronger relationship, and now it's practically full-time engagement. Although, I have to add to that, we're 100% volunteer.
If folks are interested in finding out, perhaps either by volunteering mm-hmm. or perhaps donating or just finding out more information mm-hmm. about Global Service Foundation, where can they go?
That's easy. That's globalservicefoundation.org. And there's a basic outline of our programs and the contact link.
Okay. I've been speaking today with Nicholas Bazanis from Global Service Foundation, Incorporated. Good luck, and it sounds like a great mission.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.